You're listening to LCC Alumni Stories, a show celebrating the amazing alumni of Lansing Community College. I'm Steve Robinson, president of LCC, and on each episode, I have the privilege of meeting inspiring alums and hearing about their experiences at and since leaving LCC. Our alumni community is diverse and far-reaching, representing all walks of life and working in various industries nationwide. LCC Alumni Stories highlights those who make positive contributions to their communities and showcases those who've overcome obstacles to achieve success. These are their dynamic stories. Today, my guest is Shalay Barker, a dedicated healthcare professional who works as a housekeeping aide at Holt Senior Center and Rehab Center. Shalay built a strong educational foundation at LCC, earning both her Human Services Certificate of Completion and Achievement before graduating in May of 2021. She then continued her education, completing her Bachelor's in Community Human Service with a family concentration in December of 2023. Shalay, it is so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing great. Good. I am doing great. And it's really great to see you. And I'm excited to hear what you're doing since you've left LCC. And then in a minute, we're going to talk about what your journey was like here. But tell me a little bit about this rewarding career you have in the healthcare field. What is your role and why do you find it so engaging?
You know, I work as a housekeeping aide. I take care of a lot of elderly people.
Okay.
Okay. I treat my residents like my relatives.
Oh, okay. That is so sweet. So, and this is in Holt.
Yeah, this is all in Holt, you know, and it's the place is right by my home. So it makes it so much easier and so much convenient. And, you know, I take what I do seriously because if this was your mother or your grandmother laying up in the nursing home or the facility, you want them to have the proper care.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I have very recent family experience with this. My father-in-law was in a facility like the one you work in. Mm-hmm. And just hearing you say that you treat the residents like they're your own family.
Yes.
I got to tell you, the families appreciate that. We really, really do. Hopefully those family members tell you that.
You know what? I hear it every day, every time I come to work. They're like, oh, you do such a good job. And that makes me feel good, you know, because it's a very humbling experience.
It is. Well, it's a difficult time of life for the resident and for their family. And one of the things that I learned firsthand when we were caring for my father-in-law is that no matter what job you have in that facility, you're a part of a human touch for that resident and their family. And it sounds like that's something, A, that you understand, but B, is really rewarding for you.
It is very rewarding because, you know, every time I come to work, you can tell the vibes. They're like, oh, you're such a blessing to have, and we love you. And, you know, that makes me feel good. I feel really appreciated over there. Oh, I do.
Well, that's wonderful because, you know, when people are in difficult situations, they don't always think to appreciate and thank others. And, you know, I've seen that happen because those are very stressful times for families.
Exactly.
So the fact that they've appreciated your work and that they've said something to you, that tells me that you must really go over and above to help those residents and families.
Yes, I do. And I will often ask, you know, I will ask my coworkers, do you need anything? Is there anything I can do? Would you like a cup of coffee, juice, water, or anything? You know, because they don't forget.
One of the things I learned visiting my father-in-law when he was in a situation similar to that is that probably the most important part of that facility, it's nice to have it be clean. It's nice to have it be a nice building, but it's the people. Of all the people there. And that's what I think folks are there, both the residents and their families. They're there for that human connection.
Yeah, and I love the people. I love the people I work with. I love my residents who I care for. You know, I always say I'm finna go to work now to go take care of my grandparents, you know, take care of my relatives.
You really say it that way?
Yes, I do. And that, you know, they appreciate that. You can tell the vibes. You can tell the atmosphere.
Well, you know, as humans, we need different things in the different stages of our lives. And of course, at a facility like that, we're talking about the last chapters of somebody's life. And so to have that human connection to somebody who really cares, boy, you're making a big difference.
And that's the whole goal. That's my whole point, is to make a difference in someone's life. You know, you have to kind of meet people where they're at. Okay. I don't have a problem doing that. Now, granted, you can't save everybody.
Right.
However, I sleep good at night with a very clear conscience because I know I care for somebody.
Well, right. And you started off saying it in a way that really inspires me. And that is, you're treating these folks as though they're part of your family. And listening to you talk, it sounds like they are. You say, I'm going to go be with my grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, without getting too personal or saying anything private about a family or a resident, you must have some difficult experiences. I'm sure you've lost residents. And what's it like when it's hard, when perhaps someone passes or there's a negative health event? How do you deal with that? It must be difficult.
You know, here's what I do. I sleep good at night with a very clear conscience because I know I did the right thing.
Right.
I know I helped someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that families appreciate it. And you're going to have some that are a little bit challenged and a little bit difficult. But in the end, it's all peace.
Yeah. And I think that's a great perspective because, like I said, these are very difficult times for the resident and for the family. And they maybe are not always their best selves, right? But it sounds like you have an understanding of that difficult spot that they're in. And like you said, you meet them where they're at.
Right. And you have to realize, see, what I've learned not to do, I do not take it personal.
There you go.
For the simple fact, they were once upon a time like you and I, meaning they were independent. They had their own lives. And some of them didn't think that they would be up in a facility.
Yeah.
Because it's not the same as being in your own home, your own atmosphere. You're walking your dog when you want to, getting up when you want to. And it's a whole new different dynamic. So what I do, I try to make them feel as at home as I can, as possible.
Right, right.
During the time that they're there.
So it sounds like the facility you work at is a pretty special place. What are some of the other roles there? You've described what you do, but your teammates, it sounds like a comprehensive care center, right?
Yep, it is. It really is. You know, like I said, I get along great with my workers. I will often ask, what can I do to help you guys? You know, I'm here and everything else. And I don't mind going above and beyond because that's just what I do.
Well, and again, I think you're making a big difference there. And one thing I heard you say that also I find really inspiring is when you see somebody in a particular stage of life, you almost have to step back and think of history and future, right? If someone's in a care facility, like we said, they're in the last chapters of their life, but they're still, the earlier chapters are still in their memory, in their mind, and you want to help them connect to that, right? And it sounds like some of the residents might have frustrations about things they're no longer able to do that they used to be able to do. How does that come up in your work?
So what I do, I talk to them like they're people. Like, you know, there's a couple of people who grew up on older TV shows and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I try to find something positive. What I do, I let the residents pretty much do all the talking.
Okay.
And I listen.
Isn't listening a superpower?
It is. I think the best communication skills is to listen and show good eye contact. That way they know that you're just not shrugging your shoulders or blowing them off.
Yeah, right. Well, and I can tell just having this conversation, that's something you excel at. And we're talking and I feel you listening to everything I say and you're making great eye contact. I tell you what, the way you talk about the residents being family, you're the kind of person I would want caring for my relatives and me. Because we're all headed there, right? I mean,
right.
Life is a journey, and we'll need people in the future. So, Shalay, I've loved hearing a little bit about what you do in your current role. What inspired you to go into this line of work?
You know, I used to work for Sparrow Hospital for about 20 years.
Oh, did you?
In housekeeping.
Okay.
And, you know, I chose to go into social work. And, you know, my success didn't come to like later on because, see, mind you, I'm a single mother too.
Uh-huh.
I have an adult daughter and I made plans for myself. I think what inspired me was how I knew my calling. There was a situation at the hospital.
Okay.
And I have a way with people.
Yeah.
So I learned how to talk to people, not at them, not down towards them.
Right.
And that's how I knew my calling was to get into the human service work field and everything
else. So being at the hospital for that long and in the role that you're in, you see everything, right?
I've seen a lot.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Because, you know, I worked in ER for a number of years down there. And the way I see it is if I can make it in ER, you can make it in this field. of course, you're going to have some challenges. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say struggles. I like to use the term challenge because although it is rewarding, but it can be very long. And just like with any job, you have long days.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I have a lot of long days in my job, too.
Yes.
So all those years in the hospital must have prepared you for this role. I mean, like when you got to the facility you're in, you had interfaced with people who had passed or there'd been trauma, right? And mm-hmm. So this is not new to you when you came to. How long have you been at the facility where you are now?
I just got this job very recently and stuff like that because I'm currently up in grad school too through Siena Heights.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so I just got this job and stuff, you know, and I like to work with people.
Yeah, yeah.
I try to talk on their level. I want to understand what they're going through, how they feel, because I've never been in their shoes.
Right, right. Tell me about this master's degree you're working on. What's the program?
So it's called Clinical Mental Health Counseling.
Excellent, excellent.
And, you know, people don't realize that burnout is real.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay, self-care is so, so needed because no one is invincible.
Correct.
Even some of your best social workers have breaking points.
Right. So they're people, too.
They're people, too, mm-hmm. just like us. You know, we're not perfect. It's a humbling experience. So I want to learn. I want to understand people. I want to inspire people. I want to make a difference in people's lives.
Well, it's clear that you do in the role that you're in. And this mm-hmm. master's degree is going to prepare you to do that on a different level with even more people.
Yes.
So this is a great pivot point to talking about your time at Lansing Community College. Here you are. You're a master's candidate. You're working on a graduate degree. Mm-hmm. Where did that academic success start? How did you come to LCC and what did you study when you were here?
See, you know, human service work was not really my first choice. You know, I wanted to do like fitness instructor.
Okay.
At some point I wanted to major in dietitian. Okay. But after being like a well-rounded student, I learned that the healthcare profession really isn't for me.
Okay.
And I like social work, think mm-hmm. about human service work, because I'm working with people.
Yep.
You know, I get to learn from people. Mm-hmm. I get to understand where they're coming from, because a lot of times when you meet individuals, they are very broken.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the wrong choice of words, but a lot of people just want you to listen.
Right. No, I agree. And, you know, life can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And so listening to people and just being there, being present. I'm teaching a class right now, and the very first chapter in the textbook is called Listening. I was just talking to my students that this is the communication superpower, listening. Now, what is it that happened here at LCC that helped you realize maybe healthcare wasn't for you and more mental health services was your calling? How did you figure that out?
You know, because like I said, I tried the PCT thing,
yep.
you know, and I worked as a home health aide, although I did like it, but it wasn't who I am or who I was.
I hear you.
And I just feel like there's a very, don't get me wrong, healthcare is important.
Oh, yes.
But there's also a high demand for social workers, counselors, human service workers.
There sure is. And first of all, you know, we all have to follow where we think our strengths are, where mm-hmm. our passions are. That's thing number one. But thing number two, you could not be more correct about the unmet mental health needs in our society these days. Burnout is real. One of our trustees here at LCC is a mental health counselor and is often talking to us about this, that this is a very real need in our society. It's something we're working on here at the college. Mm-hmm. So when you made that pivot from healthcare to mental health and counseling, what resources did you find here at LCC that helped you go down that path?
You know, I talked to a couple of academic advisors.
Okay.
I talked to a few counselors to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to make this happen? And mm-hmm. sure enough, when I was attending LCC, I was like 5 or 6 classes shy from receiving a certificate of completion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so what do I need to do to further my education? And that's how I knew that I was meant to do this type of work.
Yeah. What kind of courses are you taking in the master's program? Tell me a little bit about the courses and the papers and the assignments that you do.
So I did analysis and appraisal.
Okay. That's
what I did over the summer. And I'm taking a community mental health counseling class right now.
Excellent.
So how we do it is we do like what you call a discussion post. We post our discussion and then we respond to our classmates, and we do have papers and things coming up as well. And I like in my class how we learn off of one another. Yeah. Okay. And I receive great feedback from my classmates, and I also give good constructive feedback. And I would even ask, now, what can I do to kind of improve myself a little bit more?
And that's how a good online class works. And when you were here at LCC, do you remember taking English 121?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I'm teaching that this semester, uh-huh. and I'm doing exactly that. I've got the class in discussion groups, mm-hmm. and it's great to see students react to one another and learn. So tell me a little bit more about things that happened here at LCC that maybe set you up for success as a master's candidate.
I'm going to tell you, I try to work with the right type of people that will steer me in the right direction. I'm not saying because you're dealing with somebody they may not be a good fit, it doesn't right. make them less of a person, mm-hmm. but it's good to get with the right type of sources.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Know, that will help you, guide you, and direct you. However, you still have to do the work, which I don't mind doing. And
it's
I
clear.
Think if you put your best foot forward, you would get a good result in return.
And you found those kinds of people here to work with at LCC?
Yes. LCC was actually a really good experience for me. It was also a very humbling experience for me as well, too.
Tell me about the humbling part. What was humbling about it?
You know, I've had my fair share of struggles.
Okay.
Like most students did. Mm-hmm. But with me, I'm not the kind of person that gives up, okay? Because, mind you, like I said, I have a daughter. If I give up, what would that be? How would that teach my daughter?
I hear you.
You know, like I said, I've cried sometimes and yeah. get frustrated because you're students. It's to be expected.
It's a growth process, right?
And it is a growth process. And I feel like I've grown a lot when I was a student here.
So many students I've worked with have felt like they didn't belong or they weren't up to it. And those are normal feelings, right? So we have this thing that we in academia would call imposter syndrome, where you mm-hmm. think that, oh, this isn't for me. How do you overcome something like that as a student?
You know what? And that's fine, because college really isn't for everybody. There are trade schools.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got on-the-job training.
Yeah, we have that here too.
Right. And, you know, as an individual, you have to find your niche. You
yep.
gotta find your sweet spot, because every parent's dream, they want their kids to go off to college.
That's
but
right.
at the end of the day, what does your kid want?
Yeah, yeah. And going off to college means a lot of different things to a lot of people. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not what it looks like in the movies.
No, they tend to glorify that, but this is reality, you know.
I agree with you. The other thing, in all my years of dealing with community college students, so many students have said things that are similar to what you shared,
mm-hmm.
is that as a parent, they know that they're setting an example for their child. I know I felt the same way with my children.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your daughter up to? And she must be really proud of mom.
You know, I love my daughter to pieces. I love her dearly. You know, I always tell my baby, I said, look, you don't want to wonder what would have been, what could have been, what should have been. And, you know, she's doing phenomenal herself. She graduated from Hope College.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's got a degree in psychology. And now today she's working at Sparrow Hospital as a PCT on 5 West, and she's done some traveling herself, and I'm really proud of her for doing that.
What an amazing thing. And your educational journey, I just want to tell you, your educational journey must have been an incredible inspiration for her.
You know, as a mother to a daughter, I try, but at the end of the day, I want her to find her own way,
yeah.
carve her own path, because mm-hmm. my path and her path are different.
Yes.
And she knows I'm her number one support. And, you know, I don't mean to get spiritual, but, you know, my faith goes a long, long, long ways.
Absolutely.
And I even talk to her about the Holy Spirit as well, too.
Well, it sounds like just about everything you've done has set her up for success. And she must inspire you as well.
She does, especially with technology. You know, I'm trying.
Tell me about that. What has she taught you about technology that's helped you?
Using your critical thinking skills, okay?
Yeah.
Because I've had to take a PowerPoint class,
yep.
and I took some computer classes,
mm-hmm.
try to look at YouTube videos on how to, and
yes.
because I want to learn, too, because, you know, technology is here to stay.
That's true. I agree with you, and mm-hmm. and it's not something that you can learn once and just move on, right? Because it changes every day, every minute. I'm also glad you said critical thinking, because mm-hmm. one of the things that is happening with technology is, as it changes so fast, I think that a lot of people don't spend enough time asking if what they see is correct.
Yes.
And fact checking it. So mm-hmm. I think you're right. Critical thinking is a technology skill.
It really is. And I'll admit I struggle with it from time to time. However, I've gotten way better with it because, again, she's doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mama got to, you know, kind of take notes and learn technology as well, too.
Yeah, well, and we're in an age where with artificial intelligence and
Grammarly.
Things on social media, yeah, mm-hmm. well, Grammarly is another issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we can make very convincing pieces of social media that are completely made up, you know, and you have to have those critical thinking skills to decide what's real and what isn't.
Right. And I learned a lot. You know, I'd be watching. I'm like, okay, this is how you do this and this is how you do that, you know. So
let's talk just a little bit about your goal after this master's degree. First of all, I'm so inspired by what you're doing in your graduate study. When you complete that, what's next for you?
You know, hopefully I will have a job in my field,
yep.
you know, and build up a very good clientele. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in storage for me, but my whole goal is to take my degree and do very well with it,
mm-hmm.
be successful with it, and meet people where they're at, and also inspire people to let them know that things are delayed, but they're never denied. Okay.
I love that phrase. I'm going to repeat it. Delayed, but never denied.
Yes.
That's a good Chalet quote. I like it. I like it a lot. So you want to be a therapist then?
Yeah, I would like to be a therapist or a social worker,
right.
Because
mm-hmm.
my specialty, I would like to work with kids that's been abused and come from dysfunctional families and stuff like that. But I also love working with the elderly as well, too. So I'm kind of, you know, we'll see.
Well, where we started off the conversation, I was thinking about our journeys in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We started off as children very vulnerable, right? And we need help. And as you mentioned, some children are coming from a long way back, maybe from a position of neglect or abuse, and they do need counseling and therapy interventions.
Yes.
But also in that later stage of life, we become vulnerable again. Right. When we're older. And that's the clientele that you're working with now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think has inspired you to be a resource to help folks who are vulnerable?
We're humans.
Yeah.
I'm a human.
Yeah.
You a human.
Yes.
It's okay to be okay. And it's okay not to be okay.
Right.
Some people don't understand that you don't have to always play the tough role. You know, you can cry. You can spit, holler, do whatever you want. When it's all said and done, now what are you going
to
do?
That's true. I mean, there's a lot to, you know, hustle culture and grinding and things like that. But mm-hmm. some of that is putting up a bit of a front. Or a false. I hope that having conversations like the ones you're having, that people realize that it's okay to be vulnerable. Like you said, I have other colleagues have said the same thing. It's okay to not be okay
mm-hmm.
and to let people know
mm-hmm.
That you're not okay. And I think particularly after the pandemic,
right.
a lot of people are thinking that it's more acceptable to say that you're having issues or problems.
And it's okay.
Do you agree?
Yeah, it is okay. It's okay to let people, you know, talk to a trusted source. Don't just talk to anything. Okay.
You have said so many really insightful things in our conversation, Chalet. For those who are listening and maybe still LCC students, do you have any like words of wisdom or things that you would impart to somebody who is on a journey like yours, but maybe a couple of years behind you? What would you say to them to inspire them to get to where you are?
Never give up. Always finish your race, because there's always a beautiful light at the tunnel. And you would look back and be like, man, I'm glad I never gave up.
I can't think of a better way to end our conversation. I've so enjoyed talking to you, Chalet.
Thank you. It's nice talking to you, too.
Great talking to you. Chalet, thanks a lot for sharing your journey with me today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been inspiring to see how you've taken what you've done at LCC to Siena Heights and on to even bigger heights.
Yes, sir.
Alumni Stories is recorded and produced by Steve Robinson on LCC's downtown campus. The soundtrack, Who Told You, is licensed through DeWolf Music and was performed by Ian McCanty. Thanks for listening. Discover what our other alumni have been up to and explore more than 30 podcasts on lccconnect.com. And if you're an LCC alum and want to share your story, send me an email at steve_robinson@lcc.edu. Until next time, keep learning. This is LCC Connect, Voices, Vibes, Vision.